Good morning there, Truth Bible Fellowship family. I hope things are going well with you and that God is blessing you, watching over you. I look a little different this week. I got rid of that beard, so spring is surely on its way. We miss you so much, and we've seen a few of you. We've traveled around and dropped off some food that we had, and I hope that was a blessing for everybody. God blesses us, and we want to keep blessing everybody else. The Blue Door's doing well. We're taking on some new people right here in South Onondaga, and so God is so good. I have a message this morning for anyone that's listening. And keeping with our theme of the Holy Spirit right up until Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Resurrection Sunday, we have a title. The title of my message is Faithfulness is a Fruit of the Spirit, from Galatians 5:19 through 23. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. And let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. Father, we ask you right now to come to each one of us, those of us sitting here spiritually connected by your Holy Spirit, communing with you and with one another at this very moment. We ask that you open up our hearts and our pure minds so that we might hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, and that we might be doers of the word and not hearers only, recognizing, Lord, that we can only do it through your help, through your coming alongside of us and giving us the power that we need to overcome these things in our lives. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for breaking the power of sin in our lives and giving us hope. We thank you in Jesus' name. We also have another scripture, John 3:1-3. Some of the brothers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living in the truth. Faithfulness stands at the heart of who God is and what he wants to do in and through us. It's rooted in commitment and trust. Trust is produced when we make a promise to God or others and then keep that promise. When we make commitment and honor it, or when we say something and we mean it. Consistency, reliability, accountability, and a proven track record are all aspects of faithfulness. Faithfulness is giving your best to any effort you undertake, whether it is a task or a relationship. Our God is faithful to us, and therefore we feel the need, the necessity, to be also faithful. So let's take a look this morning of what faithfulness means and how to avoid the pitfalls that war against our faithfulness to our God and to those whose lives we serve. That's a funny word for us to hear nowadays, that a life of serving others is what's important. Go to any psychologist today and they'll tell you the path to happiness is loving yourself. Well, the Bible starts out right off the bat, Jesus tells us that we don't have a problem loving ourselves. We get up, we get dressed, we wash, we brush our teeth, we take good care of ourselves as best we can. So he tells us to do the same for our neighbors, to love them, to care for them, to put others first, esteem others greater than yourselves is another scripture. So this is odd territory for the natural mind. And so we press on. We must be faithful in all the areas of our life. Luke 16:10 tells us, unless you're faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in the large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Things like keeping appointments, being punctual, and our appointments that we make even with God. If you were going, let's say you lost your job, and it's very sad to think that that has probably happened to a lot of people, but let's say you lost your job, and they made an appointment for you to come and do an interview, and you showed up a half an hour late. I don't think that interview person would take that as a good indicator of your faithfulness or your accountability. And so it is with God. If we look at our church attendance as our appointment with God, it's a time when the body comes together and we all meet together with God, and we treat it like, well, I can show up when I feel like showing up, or I don't like that music part, you know, that I don't care about that, I'm about the word. You know, that music part is the most, one of the most important parts. It's equally important to the word, because not only does it prepare you for the word, but it's a worship service. That's what we're there for, to worship God. I don't want to be late for that appointment. God is not late, as we count lateness. He's always on time. So we must keep our promises. We have to remember our promises to be able to keep them. A lot of us, and I can be guilty of this, I tell somebody, oh, I'll take care of that, or don't worry, I can do that. And then I forget, especially the older I get. We have to remember our promises to keep them. And if you have to write them down or whatever you have to do. We're faithful to our spouse and family by making decisions that with their good in mind. Putting them first, but making decisions that are best for them, even when they disagree, and it's tough sometimes, those decisions have to be made. We have to be faithful to God and His direction. At work, it means doing our best, even when no one is watching. So as we endeavor to develop this fruit, we'll find some things that war against our faithfulness. Faithfulness can take a nosedive when we compromise our relationship with Jesus, when our prayer and devotional time is diminished, our church attendance and service and time for God are neglected, it will have a bad effect on our personal faithfulness and our character. Our first priority is to be faithful to God, and everything else always seems to fall into place after that. He's always faithful to us. We owe Him our faithfulness in return. And another enemy of faithfulness is compromising God's truth. When we interpret Scripture to suit our own desires or simply ignore it, we diminish the ability to rely on God's faithfulness. Nowadays, what people like to do is establish an idea or fall on a certain side of something and have an opinion about it. And then they go through Scripture trying to find something to support that, rather than making sure that we understand the Word of God so things aren't taken out of context, and that we have an overall global understanding in our heart and spirit. And then our opinions more easily fall in line with God's word when we understand what's expected of us. when our prayer, it will also affect our ability if we compromise our truth and our desire to be faithful. His promises of faithfulness to us as believers are not unconditional. God does not have unconditional love, as many of us have heard. He loves us in spite of our sinful condition, but he will never excuse it. He has pity on our hopeless condition, and he applies grace, those things that we don't deserve, which is his love and forgiveness and mercy and help and everything else. He applies those to us. And it's dangerous to view God in the light that I can go on sinning and sinning. I can go on being apathetic about my faith. I can go on ignoring God, and that everything will be good because he unconditionally loves me. The Bible does not teach that, even though there are those that do. So don't have itching ears looking for teachers that'll teach you that if that's what you want to believe. The Bible doesn't teach it. If we see him as someone who changes his mind in regard to righteousness, or one who is sporadic in his judgments, we'll have little desire to follow and serve him, because he would not be accountable. If you don't understand what God's word means, ask him. Seek answers. The Bible says that he'll answer you without making you feel ashamed. The Holy Spirit is there for that very subject. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he'll gladly tell you, and he will not resent your asking. Another danger to faithfulness is indifference to God's word. We lose capacity for faithfulness when we lose our zeal or our hunger for our first love, which is the word of God, Jesus. And then when we have that relationship right, we can't wait to dive in and read the owner's manual, the Bible, and read the love letters, really is what they are to us, teaching us what is good and right and how to please him. Revelation 2, 1 through 5 says, I write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus, and this is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance, and I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles, but they are not. And you have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first. If you don't, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. We lose our desire to stand up for the things of God and defend them, even against our own bad judgments and bad thinking and the people of God. We don't witness as we should, as if we're embarrassed to share. God knows all about all of the pimples on his bride, the church, and all the warts, and he still loves her. People who are freshly and consistently filled with God's Spirit are excited about the things of God and live lives of passion and joy. They rejoice in the saving of souls. They delight in seeing the participating in the work of God. They like participating in it, and they are enthusiastically eager to worship and to serve God. If we are genuinely faithful, we'll find ourselves actively pursuing our relationship with God? Are you spending time praising and thanking Him? Do we confess our sins to Him? And are we finding forgiveness? Are we listening to what He speaks to us from His Word, from preaching and from teaching, and even other sources? God can talk through a donkey if He wants to. We can see that in the Old Testament. Faithfulness includes the desire and the drive to seek and to know the truth. Are we seeking to grow in our understanding of God, His principles, His purposes, and His promises? Do we read and study God's Word daily? Look, being a disciple, it's the word discipline. The word discipline is where we get the word disciple. It means that the sanctification process requires discipline. And as long as we're above room temperature, God expects us to be growing in our faith and getting closer to Him and being conformed to the image of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, "Work hard so God can approve you. Be a good worker, one who doesn't need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." Faithfulness also extends from growing a relationship with God as also growing a relationship with other believers. 1 Peter 1:5 through 11 says, "So make every effort to apply these benefits of the promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence." A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. And knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have a genuine love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you'll become productive and useful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted. They've already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away. And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faithfulness means going to church even when you don't feel like it, and developing relationships with other believers even when you don't want to. And I promise you, you'll be surprised by the joy. You see, God calls us to a body. And I've said this many times before, it's so important to understand. God is more concerned with your learning how to be knit into a fellowship, knit into another, a group of believers, because we rub against each other and sometimes we frustrate each other, and we have that one person that's hard to get along with, and that other person that we really love so much, but they don't, doesn't seem like they love us back. And all this is working to help us to grow and improve. And it almost always requires humility, which is another fruit of the Spirit. And so faithfulness produces a deep assurance that we're connected to God with a bond that cannot be broken and extends to eternity. God's faithfulness to us leads to our faithfulness to Him and to others. And don't ever stop thanking Him for His faithfulness to you. And in turn, ask Him how you can be more faithful to Him and to others. I want to finish up on that thought. Being part of a fellowship, God is more concerned about you learning how to be tied into a body, learning how to be part of a fellowship. And he talks about all the parts of the body, and you're supposed to be one of those parts, and you can't do it. It's not like you're a prosthetic device, like a prosthetic leg or an arm that you can remove and just leave home and the rest of you goes out to church. The body, each part, is to meet together and commune together and learn to love and care for one another. And most importantly, as a group, we worship God. He's more concerned about that than he is about your personal growth. In fact, I'll tell you that your personal growth is accelerated by being part of a fellowship. So put that as a priority. You know, the Sabbath was one of the, honoring God's Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments, and the Sabbath was Saturday. And the whole point of that was, the symbolism is, God created everything, and he rested on the seventh day, which was Sunday. And this is the whole point of, you know, a lot of people make a big thing about the days of the week that they meet, etc. There's some groups that believe that you have to meet on Saturday. Well, that's Old Testament. The Jewish people, the people of God in the Old Testament, they worked all week, and then they entered into their rest. But the church enters into the rest, which is our relationship with Jesus. We enter into our rest, and then we work for him. And I've heard it said, before I was a Christian, I was religious. And so if you're religious, you're always trying to be a good person and do the right things because that will please God. It will appease God, and somehow we earn our way with God. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, the Bible calls that evil thinking. As Christians, we enter into the rest of Jesus. We are born again. And once that happens, we've entered into God's rest. And what are we resting from? All of our own works, all of our own things, trying to please and appease God. And now we work for God out of our love for him. And there's no earning anything anymore. We have it all. We have everything from God through Jesus. And so I just want to tell you how much, how much we miss all of you. Can't wait to get together again. And I'd just like to pray right now that those of us that struggle with some of these things we talked about today, that have a difficulty with faithfulness, pray with me. And if you happen to be listening, I don't want to miss any opportunity. If you're listening this morning and you haven't entered into God's rest, you don't know him, you can pray with me in regard to that too. I'll finish up my prayer with a prayer that you can pray along with me, and I'll leave space for you to respond in between what I say. So I'm going to pray first of all for those folks that were touched or felt a need through the teaching on faithfulness this morning. And you can pray along with me. Father, we need your help. Jesus said it. Without him, we can do nothing. And there's tons of things that we can do, but we understand that to mean that without him, we can do nothing of eternal value. It's like we go about doing the things we think somebody wants us to do and then find out that they told us what exactly they wanted from us and we did none of that. Father, we come to you this morning and we ask you to help us by your Holy Spirit with your faithfulness, with faithfulness in our lives that demonstrates, that shows our others, that brings us satisfaction and that has a heart of service to others. People can see by our faithfulness that we are loving and trusting a God who is faithful. And so we ask you to come alongside of us and help us and minister to us this morning. And if we have problems with those things like anger and wrath and lying or whatever it happens to be, whatever the sin is. I mean, when I say that, something comes to your mind. Every one of us struggles. You're not alone. And there's nothing that God can't forgive. And so, Lord, we start by asking you to forgive us. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness as your word promises you will do. Teach us how to be part of a fellowship to really open up our hearts. And help us to know what it means. Let that one hymn, that one old hymn, it says, "Let me feel your Holy Spirit and truly know that thou art mine." And now for those people that maybe haven't asked Jesus into their life or doubt whether they have that relationship with God, that they're, as Jesus said, you must be born again. I'll ask you to pray this prayer with me. Just pray along. Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. And so I ask that Jesus come into my heart and into my life and reveal himself to me. I ask you, Lord, let me feel your Holy Spirit. Let me truly know that you are mine and that I am yours. And I pray, Father, right now I declare, based on your faithfulness and my prayer, I declare that I am a child of God. I am born again. I am a part of your family. I am your child. Thank you, Lord, so much. Thank you for leading me to you. Thank you for what Jesus did for me, dying in my place and taking my punishment. And I receive him now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get a hold of me. Just let me know. And it's very encouraging to me to know. And the Bible says the angels rejoice when one sinner comes to salvation. I want to rejoice like that too. So send me just a little encouraging message. Or any questions you have or concerns or anything I can answer for you. We don't charge for that stuff. Get a hold of me at Nedro Strong, N-E-D-R-O-W, Strong, all one word, at gmail.com. Love to hear from you. For the rest of the church family, for the rest of Truth Bible Fellowship, I can't wait till we meet together. Can you imagine the hugs? They're going to be awkward. I'm hug deprived right now. So, God bless you all. Love you. Can't wait to see you. And have a great rest of your day. Talk to you soon. And hey, go on the website. Add something to the website or on Facebook or on our Facebook page, Truth Bible Fellowship Family. If you're not part of that, ask to be a member. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.